How many people do we have viewing right now? Over 100 people viewing from around the world right now. We were just trying something out last night, and they went and put it on Ustream. And then today we had them put it on our website and Vineyard Church website. Sent out one email, and boom, 100 log on. Just get ready, because it's probably going to grow by this weekend. How many are ready for this weekend? I'll tell you what. Tomorrow night, we're going to lay hands on everybody. It's a special anointing night, impartation. My wife and I are going to lay hands on everything that moves in the place. And so, if you're trying to get out the door, you better do it early in the service. Because this place is just going to be laying out with bodies all over the place. People say, what's the purpose of laying hands on people? Why do people fall out? It's really easy. It's because they can't stand up. So, the purpose for impartation is to leave this place with something more than when you came here. How many could get something more tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday night, Sunday night? Amen. Well, we're happy to be in the house tonight. What a wonderful time of worship, man. You know, night after night after night. You know, for y'all, for me, I said y'all, I feel like I'm in Florida. For me, this is really my 11th meeting. Because we came straight from Milan, Pennsylvania, where revival was breaking out there every night. But they had an evangelist come through, so we didn't want to step on his toes. We let him take over the weekend. And they'd been reporting to me that the same fire that hit Milan, Pennsylvania, this same thing that's happening now was already happening in Milan and in Syracuse. People were coming every night, and we just decided to extend. So we came Sunday, and we did Sunday morning, and then we came to Milan Tuesday night. Wednesday night, Thursday night, I called up Pastor Vaughn and said, this thing's broken out. We were only supposed to be in Milan for one night. And it broke out into three nights. Brand new people every night were coming. And now tonight, here we are. This is our eighth meeting here in Vineyard Church in Kingston, New York. And I believe it's because you are truly hungry and thirsty for the Lord. I don't believe for one second you just said, you know, I got nothing better to do. I think I'll go to church tonight. The reason you come to church is because church ain't as usual here. So I have to believe that there's a passion being stirred in the hearts of people of Kingston, New York. And we have decided, for those of you that have not been here in these meetings, we'll find out how many of you are here. But we have decided that we are canceling. We've already done it. We've canceled tomorrow night in Baltimore, Maryland. We had a church of 1,000 people there because the Lord spoke to me and my wife's heart and said, stay. And we've also canceled, unfortunately, and I'm really sorry if you're watching. Don't be mad at me. But we also canceled Front Royal, Virginia, because I heard the Lord clearly say to me yesterday, if you stay, stay until Sunday, and then I'll tell you the rest. So, are you happy about that tonight? Amen? I know we're happy about it, because we want to see the move of God in New York State. You know, I'm from Florida 10 years, but I'm also from New York 21 years. Say, Roy, you're 32. That works out to 31. Well, for one year, I had no clue where I was. But anyhow, I'm just tired of hearing the move of God always in Florida. They've had like 8 moves of God. Last move we had here was something like 1924 with Billy Sunday. 400,000 showed up. I think New York's about due. So, If you came tonight to be entertained, you're in the wrong place tonight. If you don't like what I just said, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Because we didn't come to have a show. We didn't come to do something that God hasn't spoken to us. We've come to touch heaven tonight. And I'm not interested in anything else. I'll tell you what, if I'm doing 11 days of meetings, God, you better show up. Because I miss my Harley. I want you to turn your Bibles tonight to 1 Deuteronomy 28. And I want to read from the Word of God tonight before we give you an opportunity to give. And before we do that, just put your finger there for a minute. Yeah, good. I said that last time, and nobody responded. People were like, where's 1 Deuteronomy? I throw those out. You got to watch it with me because I'm just testing the crowd. People say, what are you doing? Why are you looking at me? I said, I'm trying to figure out how hard I have to work tonight by looking at you. I'll tell you, tonight I don't have to work hard. You guys are ready to go. You are. You can see it all over you. So anyway, go to Deuteronomy 28 and keep your finger there for a minute. Let me see again. How many people went out on the streets tonight? Today, excuse me. I don't even know what century I live in. So what? How many? Let me see them high. Now, put your hands back down. Out of all of you, there was actually 40 that showed up today at 2 o'clock. And I'll just tell you, in the last 4 years of going to churches and training people how to go out and win the lost, I have not seen that many from such a small group come. I mean, it's just unbelievable. 40 people out of 230 people. That's amazing numbers. We've been in churches of 650 and like 50 showed up. Are you with me? When I see that, there's hunger in the land. There's hunger right here, right now. And I mean, we got to take advantage of that. We're going to do it again tomorrow. Who will come tomorrow at 2 o'clock, pass out flyers, win the lost, learn how to come and be effective in what you have been given? Come on, raise them high. Praise God. Now, I know, I understand people have jobs and stuff, but, you know, some people make a commitment. We've had people take off their work the next day just to go out and win the lost. Sowing seed. We've sown seed that way as well. But I'll tell you, what's the purpose of having the meetings at night if you can't share your faith, if you can't get on fire? See, you don't. Most people, they go out and they try to win the lost, but they have no fire in them when they do it. That's why they pull back from doing it in the first place, because they figure, what's the use? But see, that's the purpose of these meetings. You get set on fire at night, you've got to let it out. You can't hold on to the fire. You just burn up. So you got to give it out. And you think about it. When somebody came to you and won you to the Lord and told you about Jesus, were they all quiet? The majority of them weren't. I'm saved. You'd be like, holy smokes. I know, I've been smoking all day. See the fire around me? Because dead people can't win dead people. Can you hear me tonight? Only people that are full of the fire of God can lose somebody. Only people with the fire of God can win somebody to the Lord, and they'll believe what you say. That's the purpose of these meetings. We're not here just to bless a group of people so you can say, wow, we had a revival there in Kingston, New York. It was so nice. My friend got the fire. I got a flame. You know, we come to get so we can give. How many believe that's true? Jesus said to the disciples, go wait in the upper room. Why? Because the Holy Spirit must come. Why? So you can be endued with power. Why? Because that's what you need to do the work of the ministry. That's God's exclamation point. That's why the fire is necessary in a Christian. And if you don't have the fire, no wonder you're not telling anybody about your faith. And you just assume in America that everybody knows Jesus. Folks, Christians in church don't know Jesus. I've been in some meetings, they're just a bunch of wax dummies that come and sit there in the service. And the fire of God comes, no wonder they melt. I mean, It's people that respond to what the Lord says. That's the reason we got saved. If you think for 1 minute we got saved so we could build a church up and get all the deacons all on the sides of the doors, and let's go out and build some stuff and have car washes and bake sales, and that's what it's all about, you've missed it. It's gone. You've missed it completely. First of all, most people are deacon possessed. So, got so many deacons, we're deacon possessed. It's true. Some evangelists come in, they always preach on long hair. Doesn't nature teach it's a shame for a man to have long hair? I always meet him in the back. I'm like, yeah, it's a shame. Not a sin. Bless the Lord. They never talk about their gluttony. Some evangelists come in, they get rug burned just walking across the front of the stage. They can wipe out a whole deacon board with their vest. It's like, I don't know about you, but I came to get set on fire tonight. Can you say amen? When you're full of the fire of God, that's when everything begins to move. Cancer cannot stay when the fire of God is present. Leukemia cannot stay when the fire of God is present. And when your heart is rejoicing, and I don't mean you're just sitting here listening to the words of the preacher, but when your own heart is rejoicing and you're full of the fire, no sin can even come close to you. Jesus said, resist the devil and he will flee. Do you know when you get in God's presence, resisting is a whole lot easier. Because you're filled with the Spirit. And what Pastor Vaughn just did with all of us speaking in tongues, the reason you need to speak in tongues is because you can't understand what you're saying. You don't need to understand. In fact, the Bible says it's the Holy Spirit praying his perfect will through you. Trust me, you don't want to hear what you're praying for yourself. Oh God, please forgive this absolute moron who just, I've done everything wrong. And you don't want to hear what you're praying for yourself. It's the Holy Spirit praying through you. So the reason for the fire is to carry it out and give it out to other people. And that's what you must do. If you want to call yourself a Christian, if you are a Jesus follower, there's one reason why you come to these meetings. Get filled up so you can give it back out. Because if all you do is get filled up and you keep it to yourself, folks, it will become cancer to you. Do you, you know what? I just got a revelation on that. That's really what happens. When you keep it for yourself, it becomes what? It's like when a person gets a lot of money. If they don't start giving it away and they don't start sowing it in other places, it becomes greed to you. What does greed do? All of a sudden, you get into a life of pride. What does pride do? It makes you fall. When you fall, what happens? It's like a cancer. It eats away at your heart. And now you become hardened. You're bitter and nobody wants to talk to you. And you're hunchback in Notre Dame going, I love Jesus. Yeah. I mean, that's what happens. That's why the Lord says, give and it shall be given unto you. You want more fire in your life? Go give somebody some of that fire you got. Wow. It's really hot in here tonight. Some people are like, woo. Are y'all tired tonight? I'm on fire, Brother Roy. I laid hands on some people and nothing happened. I'm going to go into full-time ministry with my fire. Thank you. fire's contagious. Sets people free. Problem is, the church wants the little Holy Ghost. They don't want the big Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, A preacher friend of mine, he said he had an old Indian preacher up in Montana in the Crow Nation back in the early days, and this Indian chief came to one of the Holy Ghost meetings and he said, "Me no want little Holy Ghost," because he was watching all these people like, "Ha, shatara baba ba, sandara baba." He said, Me no want little Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, "Me want big Holy Ghost." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is going to keep you through full-time ministry. You are smoking some really bad religious weed. Or you're snorting religion. Some people snort cocaine. Others snort religion. Some people,
hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Go to Deuteronomy 28. Those of you that think I might just care, I don't. Go to Deuteronomy 28. It says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth." How many want to be set above all nations of the earth? 12 people. That's awesome.
Can I just be set above China?
Just give me a little island I can be above, like Fiji here. Verse 2, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Do you realize, for instance, tonight, those that came down to get the Holy Spirit and just begin to enter into what the Lord was doing now, because you obeyed the word of the man of God, the Lord blessed you with the gift. Some of you can now speak in tongues. I heard some of you while I was up here. I was pulling back and listening. Because I love this. That, to me, that's the sound of heaven. That's better than somebody's new CD that came out and played all over the world. That's better than another worship song. That's better than somebody playing a violin or a tuba. Two different worlds. It's the sound of heaven. But because you diligently, as it says here, because you did what you were told, the Lord says, I'm going to pour out my blessings upon you. So you can see that the Lord simply commands us, just do what I say. Don't question it. Well, is that really God? Abraham could have questioned the fact that God spoke to him and said, take thy son up to Mount Moriah and kill him. End his life. You know, he didn't have an angel come up to him.
Abraham. Take thy son up to Mount Moriah.
He didn't have an angel come to him. He didn't have some booming voice.
I am.
He heard it in his spirit. He heard the voice of God. And he could have contemplated it for 3 days. He didn't. It says early the next morning, Abraham set out, which tells me he didn't even think twice. Yes, Lord. And away he went to Mount Moriah, taking his son up there, tied him up, bound him up, Isaac. By the way, this is our heritage. Some of you don't even understand. We used to cut cows' heads off so that the Lord would be happy. How about them apples? You think people down the street are a cult because they sing hallelujah louder than the other people? All of us used to cut cows so we could be okay. Poor Betsy. We had to do that. But it's what the Lord required. And he blessed Abraham. How many know that Abraham became the father of many nations? God said to Abraham, look in the star. Look in the, he said, look in the sky. He said, you see those stars? Those are all your children that are about to come into your lineage. I'll make you the father of many nations. Look at the sand. You see the grains of sand? There's not enough. That's how many sons and daughters you'll have in your lineage. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. Why? Because he did what the Lord said to do. The Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. How many know that's true? You know that you can worship and he'd rather you just be obedient? I'll never forget one time, and this is a kind of a hurtful story for me, but I learned something from it. I was raised by my mother only. My father left the house when I was 2 and a half. And my parents divorced, basically. And I think it was both decisions. Still working that one out. But anyway. And my mother raised me by herself. And I was a very troublesome kid. Got into all kinds of trouble. They tell me the story. My mom came home one day with a babysitter. The babysitter fell asleep. I took a screwdriver at age 3. Somehow, I don't know how, I unscrewed the hinges to the door frame. How does a 3-year-old do that? She said she opened the door and the door went. Then one time they told me, I walked up to the edge of the sink there, and there was a, I think it was my cousin that was watching me or something, and I pulled a little string or something, and I pulled down this, the thing you wash dishes in. No, it's like it holds water or whatever, and then you put it in the sink. Whatever it is. And I pulled the string on it, and all these knives came flying down at me. Not one of them hit me, though. I was like, da, da, da. I was like Flash. But growing up, I did so many things wrong, and I didn't obey my mother hardly ever. I tried. But I made so many mistakes on purpose. Wrap your mind around that one. But anyway, I did a lot of things wrong. And I'll never forget, I bought my mom a gift one day. Now, you got to understand something. You're going to think my mom's a really bad person when I tell you this, but she's not. Because she taught me something that day, and I never realized it, and literally until 3 years ago. I bought my mom a gift, and though I didn't do what she told me to do that whole day, but I bought her a gift. And I was so excited and so proud that I could buy my mom this gift with my money, because it's always amazing when you have it. How many here have teenagers? Isn't it interesting when the unemployed start to complain? Yeah. So anyway, so I buy her this gift and she comes home and I didn't clean the house or I can't remember what I was supposed to do that day, but I didn't do it. And she says, I don't want that. I mean, I like wrapped it up, put a bow on it, all this kind of stuff. She goes, I don't want that. And then she did this. Now you're going to think she's terrible. She's not. She went, I don't want it. I want your obedience. How many can admit it was a sacrifice for a young kid like myself to go buy a gift and use the money that I had to spend on myself to go buy her a gift? And she says, I don't want it. Because obedience is better than your sacrifice right now. And you know the Lord requires that from you. You think when you come in and worship the Lord that that's it, that you're giving him all the gifts and everything? No, no, no. He wants your obedience. You either trust the Lord or you don't. That'd be like sitting here telling your wife, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And she knows that's not true right now. Just like Pastor Vaughn said, there's a way to say I love you. Do you really mean it? Some people, their idea of saying I love you to their spouse is when they got married, they said, I love you. If anything changes, I'll let you know. It's true. It's true. Maybe some of you husbands need to turn to your wife and tell her how much you really do love her again. You wonder why there's not any passion in your marriage. It's because you have lost it. Now, you hear me. I know I'm a young guy, but I'm going up on 10 years here of marriage. And I've got the same passion for my wife I had back when I was first getting married. We've got the greatest life. Why? Because we communicate with each other. We also require things from each other. You know, there's things that she wants me to do. If I don't do them, it's not because she's trying to give me a hard time. It's because it's for my own benefit. And there's things that she's required to do. Sometimes she leaves the meeting. She says, honey, I'm drunk on the Holy Ghost tonight. I start to question because, you know, none of the dishes get done. The laundry doesn't get done. None of that stuff happens, you know. I go, drinking again, are you? But, you know, it's the same way with the Lord. If we don't have the passion for our own spouse, why are we going to have passion for the Lord? And you wonder why we feel so empty and so dry. And why we would come to church, we blame it on the pastor, we blame it on the congregation. It's nobody's fault but your own. Hear me. It's nobody else's fault but your own. Do you know the time I started seeing my mom paying more attention to me is when I began to obey? What a concept. My obedience got the attention of my mother. Folks, the obedience of your heart will get the attention of God. I'm going to try this church over here. I said the obedience of your heart will get the attention of God. Now that's what I'm talking about. Because when you believe God for what he says and at his word, oh my God, the blessings start to tear you down. You can't get the blessings off of you. They overtake you. And God lifts you up above all nations of the earth and says, look, this is my son. This is my child. Think of Job. Job's just minding his own business. He's a righteous man. Job was a man, the servant of the Lord. And God walks up to the devil and says, have you considered my servant Job? If I was Job, I'd be like, Lord, can you shut up? I really don't want to go through anything. Ixnay on the oopitsay. Okay. Why did God love Job? Because he was righteous and he obeyed the word of the Lord. And today, I said this I think 3 days ago, today I just found out that David Wilkerson wrote a book called The Vision back in 1975. Some of you don't even know who David Wilkerson is. A mighty evangelist that came out of New York City, changed New York City. Started Teen Challenge. Kids coming back off of drugs and alcohol, getting saved, having families and kids, raising them up in the ways of the Lord. He wrote this book back in 1975 talking about Job and his life. And he said back in 1975, he said, there's two theories that I have that the devil is going to come and attack God's people. And he says, you already done the first one. The second one's on its way. The first way that the devil attacks his people is the devil tells the Lord, take everything away from them. Strip them of everything, their finances, their provision, their family, their wife, their children, their spouse, their husband, their brother, their sister, and they'll curse you. The second way is, which I believe we're living in right now, give them everything. I mean, load them up, make them fat, give them all their microwave food, give them all their finances, all the money they can do, all the credit they could possibly have. They can have it instantly right now, and they'll curse you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in this right now. Why do you think there's an economic downfall in the country of America? We've lived on debt. Four people agree with me. The rest of you are obviously debt-free. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And the Lord has always required seed time and harvest until Jesus comes back. Did you know that? Seed time and harvest is required until Jesus comes back. Because God sets principles in order for us to be a blessing. For what? So we can just be blessed? No. So we can bless others. That's why he gives you provision. That's why he increases your business. That's why he increases your pay. That's why he gives you a job where you're promoted somewhere. It's not just so you can be above the rest. No. You're supposed to reach your hand down and bring everybody else up with you. Can you say amen in this place? And I'm telling you, the spirit of poverty needs to be broken right here in New York State. Now, I know the taxes are high. I lived here back, you know, for 21 years. I know taxes are high here, but you don't have to live according to this economy. And this isn't just some,
well, you're just a charlatan coming through.
Folks, I've been here 11 days, man. Give me a break. I have lived these principles, and it has set me free. In debt to no man. I'm telling you, you can live that way, but it has to do with where your heart's at. It doesn't matter how much you make, because you can make $1 million a year. You can make $250,000 a year. You can make $100,000 a year. You can make $50,000. You can make $18,000. You can make $10,000 a year, and it's up to your heart whether you're poor or rich. It's the way it goes. And for people that say that Jesus was poor, give me a break, man. The guy was not poor. Why did he have a treasure in his ministry? Why did Jesus have a treasure in his ministry? You don't have treasurers in your business if you have no money. What was that conversation like? Judas, how are we doing? Well, Lord, we're 30,000 in the negative again. Well, I'm glad, Judas, that we put you on payroll and we pay you so you could tell me that. Jesus, the first gifts he got was frankincense, gold, and myrrh, which today was worth $250,000. He always had the provision. This man spoke to the weather and it stopped. This man took some loaves and fishes and multiplied them. You want to talk about stocks? Something fishy going on here. No. He had provision because he knew who his provider was. He knew who his source was. And you today, you can hear a good message and you'll never get it unless you hear the obedience speaking to your heart. Because if you're obedient to the Lord and you do what the Lord says, there are promises in the Bible that will help you in this life. I don't care if you've been to church for 40 years. If you are a person that doesn't give, no wonder there's sickness in your body. No wonder there's sin in your life. No wonder why people don't want to be around you. When I didn't give, people didn't hang around me very much. When I started giving, oh my gosh, they came out of the woodwork. I don't know about you, but the whole reason God is trying to, you know, there's a transfer happening right now. The wealth of the the wealth of the wicked stored up for what? The righteous. Why? So they can get bigger houses and bigger cars. No. So they can advance the kingdom of God. Because folks, it takes money, honey, bread, Fred, and dojo to do the ministry. Where is your time and money? Most of it's going right into the tummy. Most of it's going to stuff that you just sit there and look at for about 2 weeks and then it goes away. Some of you buy clothes. I've been there. You buy clothes, you don't even look at them. They just hang in your closet sometimes because you forgot. Some people. Other people, they're just trying to build this hobby and all this kind of stuff. But what are you doing for the kingdom? When's the last time you went down to your church and you said, hey, man, your ceiling's falling down, so guess what? Here's a couple $1,000. I just want to repair that for you. This is the house of the Lord, and I respect it and honor it, and I want my days to be lengthened, so I'm going to honor the Lord. When's the last time you've done that? Think about it. Say, Roy, now don't get so harsh on me when it comes to money. Folks, this is where your heart is. Where is your treasure? There is your heart also. This is not a ploy for an offering. Hear me. And I know there's people that have left here in this whole week and they say, oh, he keeps on preaching on the offering for 45 minutes. Folks, do you know why I preach on the offering for 45 minutes? Because nobody else does. They're afraid to. They're scared. I'm not afraid. You do what you want. I know what God has done for me. And when I was sitting on the road 3.5 years ago with $100 in my pocket, and I gave 50 bucks, and then as I kept continuing giving, I began to see the goodness of the Lord in my pocket, and I began to give even more, and then I'd help evangelists out, and then I would travel and help prophets out, and then I would travel, and I would go as far distances without an offering, and I would just go and give and give and give and give and give. Do you know how we've been blessed today? We have met the needs of people. Do you want to get prosperous? I'll tell you right now, go meet the needs of the people. Are you hearing me tonight? Go meet the needs of people. Now let me ask you a question. Those of you who have been in the meeting this whole week, how many of you have already gone and bought somebody their gas this week? There it is. I said at the top of the week, go bless somebody. Just give them a gas tank full for no reason, no benefit, just to bless them. So that person, when they walk away, they say, there is a God. Folks, I'm telling you, that was the word of the Lord when I spoke that. Just do it for no benefit. The benefit is for them, not you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now I'm going to challenge you again because nobody raised their hand this week. Go buy somebody a full tank of gas. I'll outdo you. I'll go buy 3 tanks of gas by tomorrow. You think I'm kidding? I know the principles of God. I know how this thing works. Well, brother, I can't afford that. Folks, you can't afford not to go bless somebody. You cannot afford not to bless somebody. There's always somebody worse off than you are. Now head back to Deuteronomy 28, verse 3. It says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Now the Lord's saying, not only when you bless somebody with financial, but it'll bless the fruit of your body. Your body will be blessed. No more sickness and disease. You know what I've found? Rich people aren't depressed. Now you think I'm talking about money. Rich is not in finances. Rich is in the heart. When you know who you know, that you know that you know that you're called of God, and you know who your source is, you could be in any circumstance. Have the most money, have the least money, you're rich. Hear me. And when your heart believes it, your body gets in line with what your heart believes. Proverbs says, so a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I'm telling you tonight, you can be rich in your heart and you can begin to see things change in the area of your finances and in the fruit of your body. How many would like to see some things change in your body? How many need a breakthrough in your finances? 17 people. It's going to be revival tonight. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and in the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. I love this one, verse 7. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated. Before your face. And they shall come out against you one way, and they'll flee before you seven ways. And the Lord will command. Now, when God commands something, it doesn't matter what people want to do, say, think, or breathe. It happens because He commanded it. And when the Lord commands blessing to come to you, you can't stop it. Even if you have a bad attitude, it's coming. That's why I say money's like a train. I go, look, here it comes. And there it goes. That's the way money's supposed to be in your life. It's coming and it's going. It's coming and it's going. Read on to verse 8. The Lord will command the blessing on you, in your storehouses, and in all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Look at that. It says the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouse. Where is your storehouse? A storehouse is a place of worship where you come and you learn the word and it builds you up. And it fills you up with the word of God. And this becomes your storehouse. Which is where we're supposed to tithe, 10%, which people have a really hard time with. It's not biblical. Even Jesus made note of it. He says, you do that, but you do it far from your heart. This is your storehouse. Now, some of you don't go to church here, but I'm talking about your church is your storehouse. If you're being fed there, if you're growing, if you feel yourself leaping and bounding in grace and love, and you walk out and you have the confidence, you need to give towards that church because they've been blessing you. And the Lord says when you give, when He gives to you, He's going to bless the storehouse you're in. Which means because you're blessed, the whole church gets to be blessed. Are you amen in that one? So listen to this. Verse 9. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He's sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by His name. They'll see it. You don't have to prove it. They'll say, He walks with the Lord. Verse 11. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasures, the heavens. Now listen to me. He's talking about money. When you give towards the Lord, you give a gift. See, back in the old days, we probably wouldn't give money. We'd give cattle. We'd give the best of our land. Remember Cain and Abel? How many remember Cain and Abel? Three people. That's amazing. Cain and Abel brought an offering to the Lord. Why did God reject Cain's offering? Because he didn't give the best. God doesn't want your little stuff. He wants it out of the abundance of your heart. When you give, you give. There's no strings attached to it. I've given several watches away, several rings and bracelets away. People look at me and they think, well, you're well off, Roy. Why are you preaching on offering? Hey, don't judge my harvest till you judge my seed. When you've traveled on the road for 4 years and you gave up your home, gave everything out of your house, trusted God from Maine down to Florida, traveling to every city just to have revival. People didn't even have the understanding of giving. If you think we made it on the offerings of people, you're smoking bad weed. You know how we got blessed so we could be even bigger to bless others? We gave. We gave. And we didn't just say, well, we give every week. See, some evangelists hide behind that and they say, we give every week. And what they really mean is, I go and preach and, you know, that's my giving. No. We give. We gave money. Not just our time, money. Put your money where your mouth is. That's what the Lord told me. You're going to preach on offerings? You're going to preach on giving? You better do what you say, Roy. Folks, I'm not here to brag to you, okay? But let me just tell you this. I never thought in a million years that I'd be in a position where I could give out $10,000 at a time sometimes. And I have found myself in that position. You know why? Because years ago, I took church to a whole new level and I realized, oh, this isn't even it. It's the Lord my God that provides all my needs. He's my Jehovah Jireh. I started really believing the Word of God where He said, give and it shall be given unto you. And things started to change. Oh, it hurt at first because it's like, okay, am I trusting the Lord? I'm going to try this out. You know, the Lord says He understands how you feel when you give. So He says, just test me in this. Everything else, He doesn't say you can do that. He says, but you can test me in this. Why? Because He knows we're going to feel uncomfortable about it. Why? Because it's faith that has to be attached to what you're doing. Can you say amen? Let me give you an example. Last night, my wife's up here praying for people. I'm absolutely tired. I'm wiped. And I sit down. And she's got a whole line of people here. But see, I've laid hands on tens of thousands of people in the last 4 years. And I just know because I practiced stepping into the position of believing God to heal somebody, when I was up here last night completely tired, when she called me over, I really didn't want to come. I just kind of looked at her like, it's your meeting. Go ahead, Mariah Woodworth Eder. She's a little fireball. She's my fireball. So I just wanted to make that abundantly clear. I tell her, come on, baby, light my fire. Anyway, so get over yourself. Anyway. So I step up, there's a line of people, and the Lord just said, I've called you, I've anointed you to speak the word, I've anointed you to heal the sick, lay hands on the, boom, 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 boom. So I just did it. Went down the line, every person, Lord, give me a word for every person. Why? Because I practiced it before, in the years before, and all of a sudden I had a confidence where I went, I remember last time I stepped into that place, you always came through, Lord. And people got healed right here in the front. You were here last night, some of you saw people, some of you were here and you got healed. That man in the back, he ran around the whole place here with his hip. How's your leg doing today? Great. Are you javelin throwing now? And no, I'm just kidding. Field goal kicking. Wow. I took up underwater knitting about 3 years ago. That was really fun. But, I stepped into it because I had already practiced for years being in that position for God to move. This, it's the same thing with giving, and we have learned something. Baby, am I lying? We have learned that when we get into a place where we need to see God move, we sow a huge seed. Boom. I don't mean a seed because we have money we can give it, and we don't feel it. We do it so we can feel it. So while we're in England, we already spent $75,000 on England. I've already said this 8 times. People are getting bored of it, but I'm going to tell it anyway. We went to England, Scotland, Wales, and Ireland. Ireland. Scotland. England. We went all over to those different places, and we saw 1,557 decisions for the Lord in 2 months and 46 meetings in 20 cities. Okay? Now, it cost me personally, not the ministry, because I have a business set up, music business, music ministry, whatever you want to call it. That music, it pays me a paycheck. That's how I survive. And I just had my secretary today. She says, Roy, you just got 3 more royalty checks in here. About 4 people have put your songs on their CDs and they're already selling them in stores. I was like, wow, keep singing them. Right? Nobody agrees with me. Right? Yeah, of course, keep singing them. Please sing the songs. But out of that money, not the ministry, we paid for the whole tour. Which means I paid taxes on that. Are you hearing me? And you know I did it on purpose so it would hurt me? Because I wanted to tell the Lord, Lord, if you give me this, I promise you, you can trust me. I'm going to give it back to you. You can't outgive God. So while we're in England, the Lord speaks and says, give $10,000 right now to this ministry. So I looked at my wife and I was like, That brings us to a total of $85,000. And the Lord said, do it. I didn't have to think twice. Wrote the check. Why? Because he's always come through for us. Amen. Always. Amen. There's one thing I know, and I'm not trying to, I'll tell you, God. I'm not doing that. Let me tell you about God. I'm not doing that. There's one thing I know about the Lord that he can't do. It's fail. Amen. He can do anything but fail. And I don't know about you, but you can start even tonight and say, you know what, Lord? Maybe I've been holding back and maybe I need breakthrough. You know how you meet a breakthrough? If it doesn't meet the need, it's seed. That's how we've lived. If it doesn't meet the need, it's seed. You want to see things get stirred up in your life? Begin to trust God. There have been many nights that I've gone to people's houses and did house meetings 4 years ago. And $300-something came in. And I needed that money back then. Steve, I needed that money back then. My wife and two kids, we needed the money. $300-some-odd came in the offering. There's 12 people in this house. That's a pretty good offering anyway. And I'm about to walk out, and the Lord says, I want you to leave it here in the house. They need it. And I was going, I need it. I'm the messenger. You know, holy anointed one. Hello. I'm the, you know. They have a house. I don't have a house. They have a bed. I don't have a bed. And the Lord says, they need it. So I went outside, got on the phone, talked about, remember that? Remember what I'm talking about, the house? It was in Horseheads, actually. Yeah. And I called you up. You know, my wife's so cool, because see, my wife, she has like this mega faith. Every time we're sitting in a meeting or something, I try to leave when they're taking up the offering. I'll tell you why. Because my wife would drop my wallet into the offering. I was like, can we sing a unity song first before we do this or something? Something. My wife is like that. So I called her up and I said, honey, this is what the Lord told me. Leave the money here in the house. And she said, I think you should do it. We need a breakthrough. So we did it. Guess what? 2 days later, breakthrough. $1,000 comes into our hand. From nowhere. I mean from nowhere. Somebody walks up. Here, bro. I was supposed to give you this last week. I'm sorry. Thanks. Don't tell me that you can't give and it won't be given back to you. 100-fold. Jesus said not only 100-fold in the life to come, but this life now. I am totally convinced that Jesus did not bring us here so we could just exist. He did not give you and I life so we could just sit in a pew and exist. He said, I come to bring life and give life more abundantly. What does that mean? That means you're supposed to enjoy your life. A lot of Christians don't even enjoy their life anymore. Why? The bills, the bills, the bills, the bills, the bills. Folks, I dropped out of 9th grade. Okay? I don't even have my high school diploma. I didn't go to college. Now, for all you kids here that think that's a pretty cool thing to do, forget that. Keep going to high school. I'll beat you up. In Jesus' name. But I don't have a whole track record of making money. I just begin to trust God, and the Lord helped me through it. And today, we can be a blessing to bless others. Now, is there anybody in here tonight? You want to be a blessing to bless others. Okay, then you have to give. I'm sorry, I'm just going to tell you. You have to give. That's the way it works. Let's finish reading real quickly. Go into verse 12. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens. Not only when you give does he open up his finances to you. The Bible says right here in Deuteronomy, he opens up the treasures of heaven. What is the treasures of heaven? The gifts of heaven. What? Healing. Some of you have a desire to preach to young kids. He'll give you the confidence to speak. All of a sudden, you'll have the confidence because you trust the Lord your God. Can you say amen? Amen. So, verse 12. To give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. Now it says to give the rain to your land in its season. How many know we all go through seasons? We're in a season right now. It seems like drought. Do you know in the drought season is the best time to sow? You know why? Because it breaks the back of the enemy that says that everything's going to be really, really bad. And you go, yeah, whatever. My seed's going to die in the ground and it's going to grow. And it does. Every time. Every time. The best time to sow seed is in drought. Because when you're blessed, it's easy just to give something. But when you're in drought, you put your heart into it, just like Vaughn was talking about worship today. A brand new hallelujah. I sing the same word, but it's not the same hallelujah I sang yesterday. Because you put faith, and God always honors faith. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God always honors faith. He will come through for you in the 11th hour. And some of you know, when you've given in the past, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God has always come through. Because that's the way He is. That's my God. That's my God. He takes care of me. He takes care of you. Verse, here we go. And to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. How many are tired of borrowing? Six people. Wow, you're all debt free. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. I'm going to end with this. If you want to see breakthrough in your life, and I mean in all areas of your life, then you get filled with the fire and you go out and you win the lost. You give out what you've just received. If all you do is come here and receive and you go back home and your family's blessed and everything and you don't give out to others, please don't return. Because I've done this whole week in vain. Please don't return. This was never just for you. This whole set of meetings is never just for you. Oh, God is here for you. But folks, the whole reason we have an altar call, and I tell everybody at the front, now go forgive somebody else as you've just been forgiven now. Because I find a lot of people leave after these meetings, and they get in a fight in about 10 minutes out in the parking lot. Which means what they just said really didn't mean a hill of beans to them. They didn't really add faith to what they prayed. Tonight, you can change that. Tonight, you can say, I'm going to add faith to what I'm doing. I've got to have breakthrough, and I want to give out into this city. How many of you truly, and don't, I'm not doing this so I can get a shout. How many truly want to see Kingston, New York shaken by the power of God? It's going to happen one way. You give. You give. Into Kingston. This isn't even our city. This isn't even our state or our town. We're Floridians. But we're here because the Lord said stay, and we stay. Because I believe obedience is better than sacrifice. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Listen, you have an envelope on top of your seat tonight. Maybe some of you have given this week. God's still tugging on your heart. You haven't given the right amount. Whatever. You ask the Lord tonight, Lord, what would you have me give? Lord, what would you have me give? How can I move things? How can I stir things up within my finances? How can I stir things up within my ministry and my family? And tonight you can add faith to what you're doing. Don't do anything without adding faith to it, man, because it's all in vain. You can make your checks out to Run With Fire tonight. We are a 501c3 certified, which means you get a tax receipt when you give. We don't get any money from this. Nobody draws a salary from any kind of money that comes in through our ministry. My business pays for my assistant, my secretary in Florida. We now have a base down in Florida after 4 years. It's our ministry base. It's our business base. And out of there, we travel out. into all the nations of the world. We're going to Australia in March, hopefully. We're going to South Africa in May. We go to Germany and Holland and England in June. I've just been invited to Hong Kong, China, which I don't even know if you realize this, but there's an underground movement happening right now. People are getting set on fire for the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, it's amazing. People are getting set on fire for God in all of the cities of Hong Kong, and there's other cities in China that we hear about, and they're coming together, and they're shouting louder than the Pentecostals here in America because they're hungry for God. So when you give tonight, you're giving into that. Amen? If you're ready, just put your hand on your offering. Let's just pray over it tonight. Let's add faith to what we're doing. Let's not say some mundane prayer to this thing. God, I thank you that you've always been our source. Thank you, Lord, that you've always come through in the 11th hour. You're the present help in time of need. And God, I thank you tonight that every giver tonight, that you promised us in our word, we could test you in these things and these principles. You said, give and it shall be given unto you. Shaken, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, you said, Lord. And I pray tonight that you do that to every person here tonight. According to your word, God, you said, reap from what you've sown. You said, Lord, that you would give us 100-fold. And Father, I pray in the heart of every believer here tonight, as they give their seed, that you would bless them upon multiplication, in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Praise God. Will you go ahead and receive the offering? If you're watching by way of internet right now, you think you're just tuning into this nice little broadcast, you can go to runwithfire.com and hit invest in the gospel. And there's a little donate tab there. Go there. Sow into Australia. Those of you that are watching in Pennsylvania right now, there's people watching from Pennsylvania, Georgia, Tennessee, Albany, New York. I was up there earlier. I saw all the names coming up. You can give right now. And you know what I'm talking about. You just go ahead and hit the donate button. And boom, it'll go right in there. Use your credit card. Teach your mouse to give. Throw it a little cheese. Your computer will be blessed. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Give me. Yeah. Hang on. How many appreciate Pastor Vaughn? Let me say this, just for those of you that are watching right now. This man spoke into my life 17 years ago. And God has reconnected us 17 years later. Isn't it unbelievable that 17 years later, a kid who went to a discipleship school where a man of God was preaching and speaking into his life, he's receiving the harvest from his seed that he sowed. Don't tell me it doesn't work. Can we give the Lord a mighty shout of praise right now? I'm telling you what. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to hand it back over to Vaughn, and then my wife's going to come up, so just hang on. Amen.
Praise God. Folks downstairs, if you're listening in the overflow room, come on up quick, folks, please, so we can all be together. I just wanted to ask anybody who's got a testimony about them going out today. 40 people turned up in this church at 2 o'clock. Melanie gave them instructions. We put things in their hands, flyers, tracks, different things, and they went out in the streets. So those of you that went out, I want some of you to come up and testify. So, Dave Ray, you're first. If you're not in this room, run. Where are you, Dave? Who else has a testimony that they want to share? Jonah, come on up, mate. Come on up. No, young Jonah. Did you go as well? We've got two Jonahs here. Because as Roy says, we don't believe in rocking the boat, we believe in sinking it. Come on, tell us what you and Dave did today.
I think we saved two people. First, we tried three people by ourselves each, and that didn't really work out. So we tried two more people by ourselves, and they're both saved and coming.
And where were you?
In the mall, both times.
In the mall. So Dave, come up and share with us as well. How old are you?
12.
Do you remember that time I told you about speaking publicly? Remember what you said?
No.
I remember. It was something similar to in your dreams. Well, I'm dreaming.
We went to a gas station. I tried what Roy was saying the other night about just going up and paying for someone's gas. And there's a lady, she's saved, but she said she hasn't been in church in such a long time. And I invited her out to the, you know, revival here, and she was really interested in coming. Sounds like she's going to come tomorrow.
A heart? Oh.
Yep. There was a guy who had a double bypass. I told him about my dad had a quadruple bypass. And we actually said, you know, we want to talk to you about God. And he just went, God, that's serious. And I said, yeah, it is. And, you know, when we asked him if he knew that God loves him, he said, well, I don't know, you tell me, and showed us the scars from the surgery. And I told him God does love you, and we led him to the Lord right there in Walmart, it actually was.
Let's give the Lord a thank you. In Walmart, in Kingston. Praise God. Thanks, guys. Come on, sister.
Well, let's see. Myself and Brandon, 21-year-old Brandon, who's in from Chicago
Stand
with
up,
us.
Stand up. There he is. Hey.
Amen. We went to the Kingston Strand, so we went to the projects, and we led 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teenagers to the Lord.
Did you hear that? 5 teenagers to the Lord.
And then there was a rededication of an adult man, and then we went to the, off of Broadway. We had to.
Wait a minute, haven't you done enough?
No. Then there was, we went off of Broadway into really where there's a lot of drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. And we went and just started ministering the Lord, and there were 2 salvations there as well.
So praise God, 7. Hallelujah. Okay, who else has got a testimony that went out today? Who else got a testimony? Come on. Come on, quick. Is Jimmy Crum here and James my, where are you? James, you didn't? What happened, man? Come on, man. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Me and my daughter, Charlotte, went out today. And everybody here knows who she is. She'll be 4 years old next month. We weren't, unfortunately, able to bring anybody to the Lord today, but I have faith that we planted some seeds today. But one thing is that she's been awfully sick for the last couple of days. Her mother called me this morning and asked me to go pick her up from the daycare, take her to a doctor's appointment at 2:15. I said, that's absolutely impossible because I got to be here at the Vineyard at 2:45 to go out and hand out flyers and get people to come to this thing because it's getting huge. It's going to start a fire in the city that's unbelievable. And she said, absolutely. Reschedule the appointment for 5:30. I rescheduled the appointment for 5 o'clock. Do you know that my daughter was, since I kept continuously pressing into this, what I believed in, the Lord blessed her, and she had no longer had a cough, no longer had a runny nose, and no longer had a fever. Instantly, within a half an hour, it was gone. Pastor Vaughn is witness to that. I brought her here before we went out. She was running around downstairs in the cafe. Perfect. Unbelievable. So,
can we give thanks? Hallelujah. Thanks, James. Okay, who else went out today wants to share something? Anything that you felt the Lord did and how he used you? Nobody else? Come on, young lady.
A larger thing. I have a beauty salon in Marlboro, New York, and I've been playing all Roy's CDs all week since I first came here Friday evening. And my clients don't know what has hit them all week. They come in for their hair appointment, but they're leaving, walking out with the Lord all over them, and they're all interested in coming to the revival. So that's more.
Wonderful. Thanks, sis. See, that's what it's about. Hallelujah. So we want to encourage each and every one of you. We're going to go out again Saturday morning, and it's not as difficult as you think, as long as you just get up and get out the door. So it's going to be, we're going to be meeting here Saturday morning at 10. And we're just going to give you simple instructions. We're going to put some stuff in your hand. There's plenty of flyers. There's plenty of things to do. But, you know, this evangelism is not an organized thing. That's one of the dilemmas. We all make the same mistake. Oh, 2 o'clock Saturday. Oh, 10 o'clock Saturday. We do it. We understand. But as long as that's our mentality, we're always going to fail. Because as soon as we stop organizing it, we stop doing it. So therefore, the purpose of this revival is, you know, how many of you can honestly say that you realize that there's been a fresh love in your heart for Jesus? No, I'm serious. Can you honestly stand up if you really, I'm already standing, so. If you really feel that you felt a fresh touch, because I think that's what it's all about. And I want to encourage each and every one of you to keep up the good work. And before you sit down, I want to just say this. Today, Chad and I had to drop Chad off. He's staying at my house, thank God. And Chad's a great young guy. If you haven't met him yet, you need to give him a hug and give him a Pentecostal handshake. If you don't know what that is, where have you been all your life? Anyway, so Chad and I had to drop some things off at the library. And it was so I'm in my truck, me and Chad, we pull up, and there's the handicap parking, and between them all, there's this sign, no parking anytime. You know those signs? The ones you pull in when you're in a hurry? Right, well, I was in a hurry. So I pulled in, I said, there it is, Chad. See that sign, no parking anytime? I won't be a minute. I get out from the no parking anytime sign where I'm parked. Drop the CD, is it the DVD, whatever the heck they were, into the library. And then come out and say, see, do you see what that sign says? Go into all the world and preach the gospel, but it doesn't apply to me. Did you hear that? You see, the sign said no parking, but it didn't apply to me. And every day of our lives, we open the Bible, we read something, and it doesn't apply to us. Come on, folks, help me tonight. I said, look, read it again. Did you? Read it again. And these signs will follow them that believe. You read it, but it doesn't apply to us. You see what I'm saying? And we've got this weird thing. How many of you have parked at a no parking sign? Come on, raise your hand, honest. Come on, you pull that. I won't be a minute. It doesn't apply to me. You know, see? And I'm a Christian, and I'm supposed to preach the gospel, but it doesn't apply to me. And these signs will follow those who believe, but it doesn't apply to me. You see, my point is we keep looking at these scriptures again and again and again and again, and it doesn't apply to me. The purpose of these meetings is for us to soak in the presence of God, to us receive the presence of God, to sing these songs with your heart wrapped around them like you've never sung them before, like as if you've never heard it before. And every time somebody talks about whatever they're saying, wouldn't it be wonderful to hear John 3:16 fresh all over again? Never heard it before. God, you know, this isn't a football game where they're kicking the extra point. And somebody raises up John 3:16. Now, this is a move of God for you. And remember, the order right now is every man for himself. Every woman for himself. Now is the time to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who's working in you to will and to do his good pleasure. And it's God, and it's no good looking around at what God's doing to somebody else. When God's touching somebody else, don't watch. Get your eyes closed. Get your focus on God and realize, you know. Let me just close on this before I hand over to Melanie. And it's this thought. Remember years ago when, like Roy, you know, my wife and I, we lived by faith for 19 years, 20, 21 years, never received a salary, no income, no nothing, trusted God, my wife and I, and our five children. And another evangelist was given this beautiful Oldsmobile. It was a beautiful car. And I'm still driving this old piece of junk, you know. And I could feel this envy, jealousy. I don't know what it is. It just makes you green. And I could feel it. And I go, And God showed me something. Because when God was asked by Jairus to go to his house to heal his daughter, his only daughter, he stopped on the way to heal somebody else. So every time somebody gets blessed, I go, hey, I'm next. He's coming to my house. Are you with me? So whenever somebody else gets touched by God, I'm next. Jesus is on the way to my house. When somebody else gets financially blessed, I'm next. Jesus is on the way to my house. When I see somebody else's son or daughter get touched by God, coming back to the Lord, I'm next. Jesus is coming to my house. And whenever I see anything going on, I go, oh, I I'm next. Jesus is coming to my house. Can you say amen? That's all just say. I'm next. Jesus is coming to my house. Let's give Melanie a big Kingston thank you. Hallelujah.
Can you hear me? Well, praise the Lord. God's just been doing some great things in these meetings. And we're not going to keep you late tonight because some people are tired. Tomorrow night is an important night. Tomorrow night is a night where we're going to take what we've talked about night after night after night and pour it into your hearts. And there's a clear word in the Bible that talks about impartation and the laying on of hands. So tomorrow night is an anointing night. So the laying on of hands and the purpose of it is, it's just the transference of the anointing that's on the inside of us, on the inside of those that are on fire for God, that have had a deposit of fire in our hearts, and just to put it in the hearts of those that are hungry. And really what determines how much of the fire you get is how much you've allowed God to pull out of you during this time. How empty are you of yourself so that when the fire comes, you can take some of it inside of you? And so that's been the whole purpose of these weeks. And it's like almost like we have to keep going at it over and over again and saying, okay, we don't forget, what's the purpose of these meetings? Don't forget, what are we doing here? Why are we here? What is the reason? It is to pull out of you everything that has stopped you from going to that level that you believe in your heart you should be at. The call of God that's on your heart that you know you should be walking in. The prophecy that's over you that you know. We come in and we say, okay, we're going to beat at it. We're going to teach them. We're going to talk to them. Sometimes it's going to make them feel uncomfortable. They're going to wiggle in their seat. They're not going to like this. They're not going to like that. But hello, if we kept giving you everything you like, that's because that's where you are right now. People keep giving you everything you like. Well, the Bible says that you should teach, reprove, and rebuke from the pulpit. So there's more than just giving you everything you like. Because the people have given you everything you like up till now, and you've only gone to here. And what we're saying is, okay, we're going to light a little bit of fire under them, talk to them a little bit about things that are holding them back, because they need to go to another level as much as any other person around. Kingston needs you to go to another level. Kingston doesn't need me to go to another level. Do you hear me? Yes. Kingston needs you to go to another level. Because when it's all said and done, I'm called to go around the world. But many of you are called to Kingston. And many of you are called to other countries. And many of you are called to other states. And many of you have cities that you should be taking. And many of you have nations you should be taking. And you haven't yet taken it because you have not yet seen. And God is pulling shackles off of your eyes. He's pulling scales off of your eyes so you can see that which has blocked you from entering in to that which God has called you to do. That is the purpose of revival. Hear me now, church. That is the purpose of revival. Because it's been long enough that we've been prophesied over. It's been long enough that we've heard the word of God and have not seen it move into action. Now is the time and now is the hour. It is like the sound of a mighty, mighty army being brought together. Right now, God is harnessing them. God is drawing them in. And you can hear them. You can hear it like a mighty sound when we worship. You can hear the thunder and the clap on this floor as you roar and you say, I'm going to take back what God has called me to do. I'm going to take back my family. I'm going to take back my city. I'm going to take back my country. I am not going to stop until I have the promise of God that He put on my life. He called me to do. It is the season and the hour for the violent to rise up. And that is what we're bringing here. Is a seed of faith, a seed of fire. And it takes those who carry the fire to give fire. Hear me now. And you say, what do I need to do between now and tomorrow and the rest of this week? Because it doesn't just stop tomorrow. But God is pouring out this week, and He's pouring into your hearts. And this is what I want to tell you. Maybe you didn't go out on the streets with us today. Maybe you were a little bit nervous. Maybe you're a little bit afraid. And the Bible actually talks about, there was a church in Revelation, and He said to them, you are neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm. And you say that you are rich, and you say that you have all this stuff, but look at your deeds. Look at your works. They are not the same works that they were at first. So sometimes, though we encourage people to go out on the street, sometimes it does so many purposes. And one of the things it does is it says, where is your heart at? Do you still have that fire that is so desperate to save the lost. It's so easily full of love that just pours out on people. It shows the depth and the measure of your heart. It shows where you're at. It shows your temperature. It convicts you. It says, where are you right now? Where are you at with God? These are all things that the Holy Spirit has designed and is using to talk to you about your heart and to expose the heart, to expose the heart and say, you need to get some things dealt with. You need the mask of comfortableness pulled off your life. And this is one thing I'm using to point the finger at you and say, yes, you're comfortable. Yes, you've been complacent. Yes, you think you're rich and yet you are not. Like the scripture says, I am rich and I'm wealthy and I have all I need, and yet you are naked and shamed and poor and wretched. That is the American church to the T. If the American church had everything she said she had, she would be walking in great glorious power. There would be people being added to us daily, and persecution would return. Hear me, persecution would return. And I know that we get comfortable, and I know it's not always easy to stay in that place of being on fire. But I'm telling you what, if you will cry out to God and just say, I want to be on fire, do what it takes. Take out of me the stuff that's holding me back. He will do it. If you call down fire in your life, he will answer by fire. I don't know when it'll come, but when it comes, it'll hit you like a ton of brick, like it did me. It hit me so hard. It changed my whole entire life. I called out for the fire, and I lost everything I had. I lost my ministry. I lost the things I was doing. I lost everything that was important to me, but I gained the presence of God. I gained the fire of God in my life. I started seeing souls saved again. I started seeing people healed. I had never seen people healed. I had never laid hands on people, and they fell out in the Holy Spirit. But when the fire of God came into my life, a whole new level came into me, and I was willing to give up everything because I was so hungry and I was so desperate, and God had worked such a move in my life that I was willing to do anything to have a touch from God. And that's what the fire is about. You're worried about letting go, some of you. You're worried about what's going to happen to me if that laughter hits me. I'm going to look stupid. I'm going to look funny. And all I'm saying is, when you get so desperate and so hungry for God, you don't care what you look like. You say, God, just touch me. However it comes, touch me. However it comes, touch me. I want a touch from God. I want a touch from God. I don't care what the person thinks. Because what the news is when you go home, they're not with you. And you cry in your bed. And you face the financial struggles, and you deal with the pain in your body, and you deal with the doctor's report, and nobody that's in church that judged you in church is there in your home. So you need a touch from God for your life, despite what people think. That is what God is doing in this season, in this hour. You want to sustain the glory of God? Allow him to do a work so mighty in your heart that it fills you up to overflowing and cannot be taken out. The fire of God will sustain you. The fire of God will cleanse you. And you will have such a mighty encounter. I promise you, the Bible says that seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. It says, if you want to go up into the hill of the Lord, you must have clean hands and a pure heart. So I make a commission and an adamant plea. Please, please, please. If it feels harsh to be dealt with about the finances, no, it's God wanting to bring you to another level. If it feels harsh to be dealt with about going out and seeing souls saved, it's God trying to bring you to another level. If it feels harsh to be talked about your unforgiveness, your envy, your competition, and your constant focus on trying to be somebody in something rather than on being full of God and allowing him to use you. Too much of ministry is about being something and someone rather than about being so in love with God that it's just an overflow. So if it feels harsh, I am truly sorry, but just like when my daughter disobeys me, I say, I'm truly sorry, but if you don't get the spanking, you're not going to learn. And I'm truly sorry that you have to be hurt, but the thing that's in your life right now is hurting you even more than the spanking will hurt. And in the end, the thing that's in your life will kill you, where the spanking will save you. So such is the discipline of the Lord. When he speaks to you about your life and he calls out to you, regain your focus. Stop thinking about your ministry and how you're going to build your ministry. Stop thinking about how you're going to pay the bills and how you're going to work this in life and how you're going to make this arrangement. But begin to refocus your life and come back to your first love. Come back to what it was all about. And you'll know that you know when you have it. You won't have to guess. Because you'll wake up in the morning and you'll just think about, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit. I love you, Lord. And you'll say, what can we do for you today? You won't have to think about how you're going to touch somebody's life. It'll just come out of you. It'll come out of you. So I know going on the streets and stuff isn't easy for some of you. I know it's might be challenging some of you. But it's a really good barometer. And I'll tell you what, you may not always see the fruit, but there's been people, we've seen fruit from people that we've touched on the street. They never said the prayer of salvation, but somehow they got completely changed, came into a meeting, ran into somebody else. You never know what kind of things God is working in people's lives to speak the word of God to them. So you just give what God tells you to do and then see it return as a harvest. If you don't mind, I'd love you to put on that CD number 4. And I just want everyone in this room just to bow your heads. We're just talking about getting our lives right now.
I want to ask you a very important question tonight. You've heard the message. You've worshipped. Some of you are watching online right now. You enjoy to just go on the internet and surf and watch Christian events, but are you truly living for Jesus? With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, and you at home right now, I want to ask you a very important question. If tonight you stepped out of this place, or you left the place that you're at right now, you walked out, and you were hit by a car, your heart failed you, you died, you passed away, you crossed over from this life into eternity, I want you to get real with yourself right now. And I want to ask you, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt in your heart of hearts that you know that you know that you know you would spend eternity in heaven? If you can't answer that question, there is a scripture in the Bible. Jesus said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, you can cry out to him and he will answer you. If you're in this place tonight with nobody looking around, I want you to say to me, Roy, would you pray with me? Lift up your hand right now and say, Roy, will you pray with me? I want to know Jesus. Anyone in this place? Thank you, sir, in the middle. Best decision you could have ever made. Thank you, sweetheart, in the back. God bless you. I see your hand, darling. Anyone else here? God bless you in the far back, sir. God bless you. It's what it's all about. Anyone else, if you were to pass away, thank you, sir, in the middle. Anyone else in this place tonight, if you were to pass on, you don't know that you would go to heaven. You want to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Just lift your hand right now. I want to pray with you. All right, then I have a second question for you. I see your hand, darling. Thank you. Now, if you've already answered the question the first time, don't answer this question. But the second question is this. Maybe you've asked the Lord into your heart and you go to church every Sunday. But you've grown cold from your faith. You've backslidden. You're not serving the Lord like you know you should. And tonight when the word was being preached, it was stirring your heart. And you're saying, you know, I used to hear that. But you're not living for the Lord. You've backslidden. You've fallen away. I've heard two things in my spirit for the last 6 months of my life here. Every single morning, afternoon, night, I still hear it to this day. The Bible says in the last day, many will grow cold from the faith. So it's just obvious it's going to happen anyway. And he said, if I didn't shorten the days, even the elect would fall away, which means you and I as Christians might fall away. Tonight, you can make it right with the Lord. You can get right with God and you can say, that's it. I'm tired of the devil winning this fight. I am going to make a stand for the Lord. God, I give you my life. I yield it back over to you tonight. If that's you and you've grown cold, lift your hand right now and say, Roy, that's me. Will you pray with me tonight? I want to know the Lord again. Thank you for your honesty, ma'am. Thank you, dear lady. Best decision you could have ever made. God bless you. Anyone else in this house tonight? Thank you, sweetheart, on the left side. Anyone else tonight? God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else tonight? You at home, if you're watching right now, you're lifting your hand. I can't see you, but I know there's a couple of you saying, I need to get right with God. We're going to pray in just a minute, so hold fast. Anyone else tonight? God bless you. All right, I have a third question for you, and this is the final question of the night. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you've asked the Lord into your heart, you come to church every Sunday, but you haven't just backslidden. You're actually living a double life of sin. You go home and you still log on and watch pornography. You go home and you watch movies that have God's name totally blasphemed. And you sit there and listen to it and say, this won't affect me, I'll be okay. Maybe you're still addicted to drugs and alcohol. You spray your mouth with mouth spray so nobody can tell that you have something on your breath. And you're living a double life. The Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand. It means it will fall. And I'm telling you as a brother now, you can loose this thing off your life because it will destroy you like a cancer. And when you go home, you know, because you hear the voices in the night and condemnation, guilt, and shame continue to load themselves up on you. You can thank the Lord for that because it pushes you either to Him or to a devil's hell. Now let me say that again. It's a devil's hell you want to avoid because God never created hell for you. It was created for the devil. But the Bible says that it enlarges itself to this day because people make a decision. And let me say this. If you make it to hell, congratulations. You wanted to go. And I'd say tonight, if you're going to live like hell, then go ahead and live like hell. You might as well go all the way. So when you get there, you have a reason for being there. But I'm telling you, here's what hell is. It's not the flames and the brimstone. It's not the darkness. It's not even the fact that God's not even there. How about this one? God forgets you. Jesus said, I wish that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth. Why? It makes God sick to his stomach that you don't stand up and believe what he's given you. Tonight, you can fight the devil and say, no more in my life. I am not living this lie anymore. I'm going to get right with God. I'm tired of being defeated. I'm tired of having addictions. I'm tired of getting my butt kicked. Tonight's the night. I want to give it over to God. If that's you, with nobody looking around, every head bowed, would you say, Roy, pray with me. I've got to get this thing done. Thank you, sir, for your honesty. Anyone else tonight? God bless you for your honesty. Thank you. Best decision you could have ever made. Anyone else tonight? Okay, I want, if you've answered any three of those altar calls, I want you to stand to your feet right now and come to the front quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Now's the time to deal with this thing. Come on, let's pray together. Together. Not just afar off. Just gather right here. Just come in. Come in. Come in. Together. Together. No line. Just come together. Pile in here. I want you to put your hands up to heaven. That's where your help comes from tonight. Close your eyes. This is your night. This is your night. You were going one way. The Lord gets a hold of your heart, man. It's time to go another. Just close your eyes right now. Get your eyes off yourself. Get them off me. I'm not your Savior. I can't heal you. I can't save you. Jesus alone can save you. Jesus alone can heal you. And you at home, if you're going to pray this prayer, you do it with your heart. Don't just do it with your lips and just repeat what I'm saying. You attach faith to what you're saying because you either mean it or you don't. And you hear right now, I'm telling you, the Lord will change you right now. I want you to say this with your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight, a person in desperate need of a Savior. Jesus, I realize tonight I can't do this life without you. I need you. I want you. I'll give up anything to have you be the Lord of my life. Tonight, I declare, because you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth my sins to you and to others, you would forgive me. Tonight I ask you, Lord, you'd forgive me for the trespasses I've committed against others, against you, and against myself. Tonight, I want to make it right. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to serve you. I'm ready, Lord. Wash my heart with the precious blood. Cleanse me. Fill me. Set me on fire that I may burn for you. Tonight I declare to every demon in hell that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I don't belong to hell. I'm going to plunder hell and populate heaven for Jesus' sake. Lord, I ask you tonight that you take my heart, take out the stone, put in a heart of flesh that can love again, that can feel again, in Jesus' name. And help me to forgive others as you've just forgiven me now. Now I want you to lift both your hands to heaven, and I want you out of your own mouth, your own lips, your own words, thank him for his mercy right now. Come on. Come on, out of your own heart tonight. You were going one way and he grabbed a hold of your heart tonight. Another chance tonight. There might not be another one. Tonight's the night. Just thank him. Because it's a done deal. Oh yeah. Thank you, Lord. All right, you can put your hands down. I want you to look me square in the eye. Look at me. This is what I do around the world. I forgive other people their sins. You know why? Jesus said to do it in the New Testament. He said, if you don't forgive other people's sins, their sins won't even be forgiven of. He's called you and I to forgive other people's sins. That's how people feel it go off their shoulders. They don't have any more weight. That's why he said, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. All you that are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jesus said that to you and me. You know how though he gives us rest? He gives us rest by us forgiving other people's sins, and then our sins are forgiven. See how that works? So tonight, I'm telling you right now, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the power of God and by the authority of the Holy Spirit, all of your sins from tonight and all the past, the things that you've done, really bad, really, really bad, they're all forgiven you now in Jesus' name. Stand. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. I think you should just give a shout to the Lord right now and thank him. Come on. Hallelujah. You know what comes after that? Listen, you know what happens after you give your heart to the Lord? Joy. Amen. It's a fruit of the Spirit. All of a sudden you have joy. When you wake up tomorrow morning, you're going to have to pinch yourself because you think you died and gone to heaven. I'm telling you, you'll hear the birds sing again. Your vision will change. Your view will change. You'll look at things. The things you've looked at for the same time, just like we said, it's like a new hallelujah. Same word, but sang differently. You'll have faith attached to it. Amen. Listen, I want everybody here tonight. Pastor Vaughn is right here, and all of our friends and ushers, we're going to take you back into the room. They just want to pray with you very briefly, introduce themselves and everything. If you'll just turn around right now, ushers, if you just direct them right here to Pastor Vaughn, and just go right out there, and you can come right back into the service. Can we give the Lord a mighty shout? Come on. Hallelujah. Is that the best you've got tonight? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Now, some people say, they go, now, was that a revival meeting? Folks, if that's not revival, I don't know what is revival. I'll be honest with you. Can you say amen? Amen? Come on, stand to your feet tonight. Now, they're in the other room, but some people say, oh, does it, you know, I see that all the time. People come down. Does it really stick? Folks, when it sticks, they won't come down anymore. Amen? You don't know what these people were going through. You think about back, I remember when I was 8 years old and I came down to the altar. My life got radically changed. Even though I was a bad kid after that, my heart got stuck. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let me go. And he followed me all throughout my life. And look what he's done. Look what the Lord has done. Amen? Come on, lift your hands tonight. Let me pray over you tonight. God, I pray an evangelistic blessing over every heart tonight, that you would set them on fire, that they would evangelize your name and make you famous everywhere they go. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray, Lord, tonight that they have traveling mercies. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would aggravate their heart with the plans and purpose that you have for them. Irritate them with the call of God that's on their life in Jesus' name. And Lord, continue to shake Kingston, New York as we continue to press in every night this week, Lord. Lord, set this whole weekend ablaze with people that come from out of town. Let them run with fire again in Jesus' name. And all God's people shouted out, amen. Come on, give them one more shout of praise to the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night at 6:30. You can log on the internet at 6:30. God bless you.